Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
Good Tuesday morning. Vanessa Denha Garmo here, host of Epiphany, filling in for my dear sister in Christ this morning, Teresa Tomeo. We have a packed show today. It's a co-production of EWTN and Ave Maria Radio here on Catholic Connection. Joining us will be Ariel Del Turco, our first guest here. She has a new Family Research Council report. This is really alarming. It's called Hostility Against Churches is on the Rise in the United States. So just to give you a brief overview of what we're going to be talking about, the report offers chilling analysis on 800% increase attacks against churches over 6 years. Think about that. 800% increase with attacks against churches over 6 years. The report also found a doubling of violent attacks against churches in the United States from 2023 to 2020 compared to 2022. So a doubling of violent attacks against churches 2022 compared to 2023. It's doubled in a year, in that year span. So the act in 2023, acts of hostility against churches took place in 48 states and the District of Columbia, with more occurring in states with larger populations, like California had the most incidences with 33. Texas had 28 incidences. Hawaii and Wyoming had none. Criminal acts of vandalism and destruction of the church property may be symptomatic of a collapse in societal reverence and respect for houses of worship and religion. Well, we have seen this decline or this attack against Christianity increase over the last few years. In fact, it's like politically correct. It's like no other religion is okay to attack in entertainment and the media other than the Catholic faith. It's like it's like, oh, that's okay. That's politically correct. You can't go after any other religion, but Catholics are free reign, right? You could say and do anything against Catholics. Now we're talking from verbal attacks to violent attacks on the rise. So Ariel Del Turco will be talking with us about that. And what can we do? I'm not really sure. But the awareness is the first step. We have to be aware of this. And of course, if, you know, Teresa and I, we talk about this all the time with our, in the news segment we do, why isn't the media covering more of this? How much of this is in the media? I'm going to do a Google search after this and see how much of this is being covered. How many media outlets and secular media are covering this report from the Family Research Council on hostility against churches on the rise in the United States? Because part of the reason that we don't solve some of these problems is because there's a lack of awareness. Awareness is the first step. And I talk about this in coaching all the time. When I'm coaching clients, that self-awareness is so important. We can't fix what we don't know. We can't work on ourselves if we don't realize that there's a problem. And that's true what's going on in the world and the culture. We have to first know there's a problem. And when the secular media doesn't do their job to bring awareness to these issues, then there's lack of people working on solving the problem. So when you hear these reports, I encourage you to ask your local media, why aren't you covering this? Why aren't you reporting this? Ask your local politicians, what are you doing about this? Hold people accountable, especially people in public office who are there to serve us. They're supposed to be public servants helping to make our community better, right? So ask those local officials, here's a report, what are you doing about it? Ask the media, here's the report, why aren't you covering it? Those are legitimate questions. Share them on social media and tag media outlets and tag your local elected officials, your congresspeople, your senator, and ask them, what are you doing about this? Especially if you're living in the communities where these violent attacks are higher than other places, like the District of Columbia, like California. These are legitimate questions. And then also, Marge Fenelon will be joining us, the author of a booklet, Behold Your Mother, Marian Stations of the Cross. It's a small booklet for the Lenten season. It's written from a very unique perspective of a child who is witnessing Mary's unspeakable anguish. This booklet helps us grow in devotion to the Blessed Mother as she leads us closer to her son. And I have to tell you, every time that I watch The Passion of the Christ or I watch a play on The Passion of the Christ, all I kept thinking about is, Mary, Mother Mary, how did you do that? How did you watch that? How did you walk with Jesus as he carried the cross and watch them torture him and hang him? And it brings me closer to our mother, and it brings me closer to Christ, that pain and that anguish. So we'll be talking with Marge Fenelon about her booklet today as well. So much going on here on Catholic Connection. Again, I'm Vanessa Denhagarmo, filling in for Teresa Tamio this morning. We're going to look at the weather, and then we're going to head into the news. But first, I want to look at the weather around the country. Here in Southeast Michigan, in my home state, it is raining. We're in a high of 71 degrees, but it's pouring rain right now as I'm looking out the window. In Buffalo, it's going to be a high of 71 and sunny skies. New York, cloudy and 57 degrees. Boston, cloudy, 48 degrees. You're looking at Atlanta, cloudy and 72 degrees. Jacksonville, Florida, a high of 69 degrees and cloudy, raining. In Tampa, Florida, high of 80, high of 80 in Miami with partly cloudy skies. In New Orleans, it's going to be raining pretty much throughout the day, of high of 72 degrees. Memphis, high of 80 degrees and cloudy skies. Cloudy in Houston, high of 81. San Antonio, high of 81 and cloudy. It's also going to be a high of 72 in El Paso and sunny. Oklahoma City, 77, cloudy skies. And Albuquerque, very sunny, 65 degrees. Phoenix, Arizona, high of 72, but cloudy skies. Las Vegas, high of 65 and mostly sunny. San Francisco, cloudy all day with a high of 55 degrees. It is approaching 7 minutes past the hour. It is now time for the news. Today is Super Tuesday, the biggest day of the 2024 election nominating cycle. Results will be announced in 16 states and American Samoa. It's a big day for former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley, who has only won one Republican contest in Washington, D.C. The number of delegates on the table will be big boost for the winner. Former President Trump and President Biden are their favored frontrunners. Former President Trump says the ruling to keep him on the Colorado ballot will unify the country. Speaking with Sean Hannity, Trump said the high court shut down Colorado's efforts.
A lot of states challenging. You couldn't run a country that way. So they took everything off the table, a very strong decision, actually. Everything is off the table, and they just don't have the right to do that.
The high court said Colorado can't remove him over claims he was an insurrectionist, effectively stopping more states from trying to do the same. Speaking from Florida, Trump said he's dealing with out-of-control judges and rogue prosecutors. He went on to urge the Supreme Court to rule in his favor regarding his upcoming presidential immunity case. Wyoming lawmakers have passed a bill that would add regulations to surgical and chemical abortions to the state's lasting remaining abortion clinic. The new bill, expected to be signed into law this month, would reclassify abortion clinics as ambulatory surgical centers. That would require doctors to perform abortions to be licensed and add criminal penalties to violators. The state's passed two bans last year on abortion and the use of abortion pill, which are both under injunction pending an April court hearing. France is now the first country in the world to make abortion a constitutional right. The French Parliament voted 70-80-72 in favor of the measure that amends the French Constitution. Efforts to guarantee the right for abortion in France started as a response to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade in 2022. Meanwhile, the San Diego Unified School District is expected to vote today on whether to cut more than 400 jobs. Phil Ferrara has the latest.
The district says all that cash from COVID relief has stopped flowing, and now they are nearly $94 million in the hole. That means San Diego Unified has to tighten its belt. They say they will do it with layoffs.
It really is going through line by line by line in our budget and thinking about where can we afford to cut and where can't we.
School Board President Shayna Hazen told NBC News members are practicing values-based budgeting. It's not just teachers. Police officers and dispatchers could be laid off. A locksmith, even a director of communications.
Seattle is being called the nation's least religious big city. New data from the U.S. Census Bureau's Household Pulse Survey shows Seattle has the fewest number of churchgoers among the nation's 15 largest metropolitan areas. The numbers show around 64% of Seattle residents never attend religious studies or go less than once a year. San Francisco was ranked the second least religious, with 63% never attending services. Boston rounds out the bottom three with 56% attendance. The survey was conducted in January and February of this year. Texas' controversial new immigration law is likely headed to the U.S. Supreme Court. Mark Mayfield has more.
It allows local cops to arrest anybody that they believe crossed the border illegally. It was blocked by a federal judge. That ruling has now been overturned. A federal appeals court is giving the federal government 7 days to file a case with the U.S. Supreme Court. If they don't, the law will go into effect this weekend. The Justice Department previously sued to block the law, arguing that the federal government has got the sole responsibility to enforce immigration law.
Pope Francis is urging for an immediate ceasefire in Gaza to provide aid and secure the release of hostages. Speaking in his Sunday address, the Pope said the people of Palestine and Israel are suffering due to the war between Israel and Hamas. He asked if leaders believe they can really build a better world this way and if they think they can really achieve peace. Wildlife officials are reporting another whale washed up upon the Virginia coast. Richard Stelling has more.
Marine biologists have started an investigation after a second dead whale washed up on a beach in Virginia yesterday. The Virginia Aquarium Stranding Response Team confirmed that the whale was found at Falls Cape State Park in Sandbridge. Authorities did not give specifics about the whale, saying only that a necropsy would be conducted to determine its cause of death. A dead humpback whale was found on the Virginia beach shoreline on Sunday and was set to be examined yesterday.
SpaceX has successfully completed another rocket launch from the coast of Santa Barbara County. Daniel Martindale has a recap.
On Monday afternoon, the Falcon 9 rocket supporting the Transporter 10 mission lifted off from Vandenberg Space Force Base with no issues. This was not a Starlink satellite mission, but it still involved plenty of satellites. The rocket took 53 payloads into low Earth orbit, including CubeSats, MicroSats, and a hosted payload. This was SpaceX's 10th dedicated small sat rideshare mission. I'm Daniel Martindale.
It is approaching 13 minutes past the hour here on Catholic Connection. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, filling in for Teresa Tamio this morning. When we come back, Ariel Del Turco, Assistant Director for the Center of Religious Liberty at the Family Research Council, will be joining us. Stay with us, everyone.
The most original and exclusive Catholic content is on EWTN Radio.
One time somebody said to me, "Why don't you air these people?" And I said, "No, but I don't think they're Catholic." He says, "By what right do you have to say that?" I said, "I own the network."
Mother Angelica Live Classics. Tonight, 8 Eastern on EWTN Television and Radio.
Do you own popular index mutual funds or ETFs? If so, you're automatically owned shares of companies that conflict with your moral beliefs. Ave Maria mutual funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria mutual funds. The experienced professional portfolio managers make decisions based on investment fundamentals and pro-life values. You can learn more about Ave Maria mutual funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
The following program is brought to you in part by MyCatholicWill.com. Surveys show that more than half of Americans do not have a will. At MyCatholicWill.com, it takes as little as 15 minutes to write your will and secure a legacy of faith. MyCatholicWill.com is the exclusive online destination for creating a Catholic will. The process of writing a will is simple and now more accessible than ever. MyCatholicWill.com, a legacy of faith for those you love.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is. Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
Father Benedict Groeschel.
I often go back to my childhood. In church, we love to be reverent, to Christ present in the Eucharist, to Christ on the cross. But I was also impressed by the reverence of my friends in the Salvation Army. They had a little band. And I used to walk past the band on Sunday morning on my way to church. And I was just a child. But I said, you know, they're trying to pray to God. They're showing reverence to God. All this was reverence. Now what do I see? I hear one irreverence after another. And week after week, month after month, the media churns out things that make fun of religion in general and make fun of Christianity in particular, and particularly make fun of the Catholic Church. No class. Absolutely no class.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Oh, and we're back here on Catholic Connection. We're trying to get a hold of Ariel Del Turco. Andrew's working on the little technical issues. But what we're going to be talking with her about is a new Family Research Council reporting to share its title, Hostility Against Churches is on the Rise in the United States. So the report is pretty chilling. I mean, this is I was shocked at the stats that they're sharing. So it's an analysis, and they looked at an 800% increase of attacks against churches over a six-year period. So the report also found a doubling of violent attacks against churches in the United States in 2023 compared to 2022. So Ariel Del Turco, Assistant Director of the Center for Religious Liberty at the Family Research Council, is here with us now on Catholic Connection to share with us more. Ariel, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So this is pretty alarming, Ariel. When I was reading an overview of these stats, I was kind of shocked. What prompted the Family Research Center to look at this, and what was the reaction when you guys saw the results?
So we have been looking at this for the past 6 years, but we were prompted to look at this after the Dobbs decision last May, or in May 2022, when we were noticing more and more churches being targeted for violence, being accused of taking away women's rights after the Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, being blamed in this political setting and being threatened and facing really nasty political protests. So that sparked this. We looked back over the last 6 years, and over those 6 years, we saw a massive rise in what we call acts of hostility against churches. That includes vandalism, arson, gun-related incidents, bomb threats, and other crimes that take place on church property. So we think this is a very concerning trend overall over those 6 years.
Mm-hmm. I was saying earlier, Ariel, the awareness is really important. I mean, not only is there an 800% increase of attacks over 6 years, there's been a doubling of violence attacks against churches in just a one-year period from 2022 to 2023. And it's primarily, was it primarily in larger communities, from what I understand, larger cities?
That's a good question. I think as we embarked on this research, we expected maybe to find more incidents in blue states as opposed to red states, or that there would be some kind of differentiation along political lines. But we really see this as being a problem across the country nationwide, in cities, in rural areas, in blue states, in red states. So I really think it's a larger cultural problem that is enabling this increase in acts of hostility against churches.
So over the 6 years, let's look at, you looked at 2018 to 2023, you identified 915 acts of hostility against U.S. churches. The types of acts include, like you said, vandalism, arson, gun-related incidents, bomb threats, and more. In these acts, did you kind of note anybody being harmed, physically harmed?
Yeah, so there were various assaults. Sometimes people would bring a gun into a church. We didn't see any major incidents. There was one mass shooting, unfortunately, last year at the Covenant School, which was run by a church, and that was a very big case. Mainly, though, these are smaller incidents. They're acts of vandalism, and at minimum, they show just a severe level of disrespect towards churches. But at maximum, they show really an intent to do damage and an intent to really intimidate Christians and send a message against Christianity itself.
Mm-hmm. We know here in the state of Michigan, we've had some of those acts of violence and attacks on Catholic churches here that have experienced that. In your reporting, did you look at what law enforcement has done and is willing to do in regards to these acts of violence against Catholic churches?
So mostly law enforcement does respond fairly well to these acts. Thankfully, there are great laws on the books in all states that protect churches from these acts of violence. However, in many cases, law enforcement just cannot identify the perpetrator. There might not be security cameras, or there's just no leads in a specific case. But thankfully, it's not mainly a policy issue that we're viewing this as. We're viewing this more as a cultural issue. This is something that reminds us that religious freedom doesn't just rely on good laws. It also relies on that cultural support, that belief among our culture that everyone does have a right to attend church without feeling threatened, just at a bare minimum.
Mm-hmm. I think that's such an important note to make, the cultural awareness. But, you know, because in recent years, even prior to Roe v. Wade being overturned, we saw that it became so okay, in fact, politically correct, and actually kind of cheered on to take on the Catholic Church. You see this in entertainment and the media. It's like, as if all the other religions are off limits except the Catholic Church, and we've seen an escalation of verbal attacks, and now we're seeing violent attacks. That is a cultural issue.
Yeah, absolutely. And it makes sense, right? If Christianity and Christians are being maligned in the news media, we see journalists accusing very normal conservative political Christian beliefs as being Christian nationalists.
Yeah, we saw that recently. Yeah.
Yeah. In movies and pop culture, we see Christianity just painted as backwards, the worst, being oppressive. When we see all of this happening in culture, it's not totally surprising that that's going to spill over and have a real-world physical effect.
Yeah, because it perpetuates that violence. So when somebody goes on a national platform and calls Christians Christian nationalists, they put that negative connotation in someone's brain. And if they're already suffering, if they're already angry, if they're already upset, maybe they're post-abortive, wherever they're coming from, a place of anger and hate and rage, they want to look for an outlet to take it out on somebody. And so that negative connotation, that those negative messages that the media puts out, entertainment puts out, just perpetuates the anger that already lives within somebody to go attack.
Absolutely right.
Right?
Yeah. And we're living in an increasingly secular culture too.
I think
more and more people have no exposure to religion. They don't understand it. They don't understand religious people or understand why churches are sacred, why people would even want to attend a religious worship service. So when we're living in a culture like that and people are increasingly identifying as non-religious, as the nuns.
Nuns.
They have no religious affiliation. It just feeds into that lack of respect for Christianity and for religion because they're not taught about it. They're not taught to respect it. And I don't think we would have seen this level of hostility against churches several decades ago in the United States. And I think that's just because we're a less religious place now.
That's a good point. And I was just reading in the news, Ariel, the cities like Boston, where there's a decrease of people going to church. You know, it was in the news story, in the news segment I was reading, that there are cities, large cities in America, where there's like some 60% of people don't go to services on any regular basis, maybe go twice a year. So to your point, there's more people identifying as nuns, not N-O-N-E-S, nuns. They're affiliated with no religion, non-religion. So you see an increase of that, a disconnection from God, right, in Christ. And now this correlates to attacks on the Christian faith in these churches. We have about 30 seconds before we have to take a break, and then we'll come back with you. What else do you want to share with them before we head into that break?
Well, I think it can be easy to shrug off. Well, of course there's vandalism. But really, these acts have a huge range in how they harm a church or a religious community.
Oh, go ahead.
She heard the music.
Go ahead. Ariel, we're going to hold that thought. We're going to continue with Ariel Del Turco here on Catholic Connection. We got to take a break. We're talking about hostility against churches is on the rise in the United States. Stay with us, everyone. More with Ariel Del Turco after the break.
Is the ecclesial ministry of the Catholic Church personal as well as sacramental and collegial in character? The Catechism says yes. Jesus Christ, the founder of the Catholic Church, calls his ministers personally when he says, "Follow me." The College of Bishops are related to the Pontiff in Rome as Peter was related to the rest of the apostles. When Christ instituted the 12 apostles, he constituted them in a college or permanent assembly at the head of which he placed Peter, the rock of his church. Our Lord gave Peter the keys to his church, designating him the shepherd of the whole flock. The power Christ gave Peter to loose and to bind was also given to the College of the Apostles, united to its head. This pastoral office of Peter and the other apostles belongs to the church's very foundation and is continued by the bishops under the primacy of the Pope. This is Peggy Stanton, and this has been the Order of Malta's Minute with the Catechism.
It's time for Family Man with Dr. Gregory Popchuk.
Do you celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life? It's an approach to family spirituality that can help every Catholic family encounter Christ more meaningfully at home and experience their faith as the source of the warmth in their homes. The Liturgy of Domestic Church Life has three parts. The Rite of Christian Relationship helps families love each other with Christ's sacrificial love. The Rite of Family Rituals helps families develop Christian attitudes toward work, play, relationships, and faith. And the Rite of Reaching Out helps families learn to serve each other and the world just like Christ. When you live out the liturgy of domestic church life, you bring the grace of the Eucharist home and let Christ transform everything about the way you live and love each other. To discover more ways your family can celebrate the liturgy of domestic church life, check out the newest editions of Parenting with Grace and visit CatholicCounselors.com. I'm Dr. Greg Popchuk, but you can call me Family Man.
To discover more ways faith can enrich your life, visit CatholicCounselors.com.
We've been talking with Ariel Del Turco, Assistant Director of the Center for Religious Liberty at the Family Research Council, sharing with us a really important report titled Hostility Against Churches is on the Rise in the United States. And this is important awareness. And Ariel, I thank you all for bringing this to our attention and doing this report and sharing this with us. Awareness is really the first step to make a difference, right? To make a change. We see there's a problem. Now what? And I was saying earlier, I'm a big proponent in looking at what the media is covering. And if they're not covering this story, this report, then reach out to your local media and ask them why. Share it with them and say, why aren't you covering this? And if your local, your elected officials, your congressional people, your senators, you need to reach out to them, Ariel, and say, what are you doing about this? So could you talk to us about the next steps? This report is out. Now what do we do? And how do we find the report?
Yeah, I think you touched on something important. We don't see a lot, especially in the secular media, about this, even among conservative media. And I think that's because it doesn't totally fit some of the leftist media narratives, right? Mm-hmm. The left can't say, churches are being attacked, therefore we need to go past some lefty bill that we want. They're not interested in promoting religious freedom. They're not interested in building a culture that respects and cares about Christians and churches. So I think that's why we're seeing a lack of coverage about this. But it's a huge trend. If this were happening against abortion facilities or something like that, I don't think we'd hear the end of it.
Yes, that's so true. If this was an attack on abortion facilities, it would be headline news all across America. So, you know, what we don't want to do, and I talk to my colleagues in the media a lot about this, who are, you know, true traditional journalists. You don't want to put out a story and alarm people and say, oh, well, there's nothing you could do about it. No, we all could do our part. So where can we find the report? Because I want people to go read it, Ariel, and then share it with people.
Yes. So you can read the report at frc.org/hostility against churches.
Okay. And so what are you hoping? Like I mentioned, these options we can do. Are you pushing this out to the secular media, and are you making note of who might be covering it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we can all play a part in the amount of steam that this gets, especially on social media, which the print media and corporate media tends to follow, right, if something's getting traction online. So we can all share the report on our platforms. We could share it and maybe tag your local congressman or tag your state representatives and say, hey, this is an issue of concern to me. You need to be looking at this. It's great that we live in a democracy, but it also means that our political leaders, they aren't going to care about something unless they know their constituents care about something. So that means we as the constituents can let them know that this is an issue we want them to take action on.
Yeah, and that's a really good point, too. And looking at your report, I'm just thinking in itself, all the churches that have faced attacks over the last 6 years all should arm themselves with this report and go to their local they're actually congressional people. It's really a federal issue. Go to their senators and their congressional people and go to their local media and saying, I want this covered. I want you to do something about it. I mean, even just starting with the churches themselves, Ariel, that have been attacked over the six years are a great resource of people to get the word out.
Yes, absolutely. And they are going to be really effective lobbyists if they want to speak up to their representatives and say, this is what is happening to my church. This is how it is making us feel. This is how it's affecting us. Representatives are going to listen to that and take that seriously because we talked about this lack of respect for churches and religious institutions, but they do still carry some weight, especially in some of these traditional settings, right? Congress is very old school. When they see a priest or a pastor come to them saying that they are being targeted in their community, in their district, they're going to take that very seriously.
Yeah. And sharing this information, I think, on social media platforms with your friends and family, this is just awareness things. You know, awareness is so important in terms of wanting to make a change, right? So if we are not aware of what's going on, how can we make a difference in this world and how can we make it better? So sharing this information, I think, is so important with people in your social circles as well, Ariel.
Absolutely, it is. It's all going to build that momentum towards making a change. But also, it's hopefully going to inspire prayer, right? Christians need to know exactly what type of culture we're living in, that it is a culture that I think represents a growing hostility towards Christianity and churches. And so we should be praying through that and thinking about that and thinking about how we can respond as Christians, as Americans, in our everyday lives.
Ariel Del Turco is who we're talking to today, Assistant Director of the Center for Religious Liberty at the Family Research Council. And they're talking about a new Family Research Council report to share hostility against churches and the rise in the United States. You know, when you do these reports, Ariel, is the intent really to bring awareness on these issues and share it with the public? I mean, what are you hoping will come of this report?
I'm hoping that we're going to see some open eyes about what churches are facing. We talked about how this isn't covered enough in the media, but the reality is we want to get that coverage, right? We want to push this report out and show what's happening. But even as citizens, we can look at some of these issues and think, you know what, this feels larger than life. I can't have any sort of impact on this, even though we already talked about a few ways that we can. But for us, I think we can respond just on a daily basis by trying to build that cultural support for religious freedom. I mentioned earlier before the break, religious freedom doesn't just rely on good laws. It also relies on cultural support for that religious freedom. If we can start to build that in our everyday lives just by not being afraid to live out our faith. So I always encourage people to pray in public, pray outside of abortion facilities, and share your faith. Share your faith with your coworkers, or let your coworkers know what your beliefs are and why your faith informs them in a respectful manner. I think in some of these corporate settings, people think they've never even met a pro-life Christian, or that they don't know anyone that goes to church, even though you might work there. So I think just by being that example, being that witness in our culture of what Christianity is, of how it's informing our daily lives, and how it's shaping us for the better, all of those things is going to help squeeze the muscle of religious freedom, of building that religious tolerance in our culture. That's going to really enable Christian individuals and churches and people of all faith, really, to be able to flourish.
Ariel, thank you so much for being with us here on Catholic Connection and sharing this important report with us. Again, tell our listeners how to get a copy of the report and share it with others.
You can see the report at frc.org/hostility against churches. And thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you, Ariel. Thank you so much for being with us here on Catholic Connection. Vanessa Denhagarmo filling in for Teresa Tamio. Again, that's the Family Research Council report titled Hostility Against Churches is on the Rise in the United States. The report offers a chilling analysis of an 800% increase in attacks. I shared this on my communications evangelist Vanessa Denhagarmo Facebook page. You can get that there as well. Stay with us, everyone. We're going to continue our conversation here on Catholic Connection after the break, and we'll be talking about Mary's unspeakable anguish and Behold Your Mother, Marian Stations of the Cross. It's a small booklet for the Lenten season. We'll be right back.
Living the Beatitudes with Father Bjorn.
Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. If you're on a football team, you don't want to just run up and down the field holding the ball and never cross into the end zone and get a touchdown. We want to reach our goal, but there are a lot of obstacles, discouragement, and challenges along the way. Jesus' voice is the one calling us to say yes to him, to live the life that he is calling us to live. We have to choose one way or the other, choose him or not. But if we choose him, we will be opposed. We're going to have people challenge what we believe or call us crazy. But Jesus doesn't just say, come follow me, to follow a beatitude. He's calling us to be like himself. He is the Beatitudes. He doesn't just say, do what I say. He says, come follow me. He's with us every step of the way, transforming our weakness into strength. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven.
For more about the Beatitudes, visit EWTNRC.com.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
If I disciplined consistently, I'd be disciplining constantly. If I were consistent in my discipline, that would mean I would discipline more, and I'd be disciplining him often. The exact opposite is the case. More consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. Why? Because you're predictable. The child knows if he does A, you'll do B. That is why, when you are predictable in your authority, you will actually have to use that authority less. Consistent discipline leads to less constant discipline. The more you act when you need to act, the less you will have to act in the future with similar misbehavior.
Mother, Marian Stations of the Cross, available in paperback by Marge Stanghag Fenelon, joining us here today. When we pray the Stations of the Cross, we walk a line Jesus to Calvary. And I'm so glad you put this out, Marge, because every time I think of the Stations of the Cross, I watch the Passion of the Christ, I watch a play about the Passion, I always think of Mother Mary and how she did what she did. Welcome to Catholic Connection. It's a pleasure talking with you, Marge.
Well, pleasure's all mine, Vanessa, and I'm grateful, really, to hear you say that whenever you think about the Stations of the Cross, excuse me, you think about our Blessed Mother, because I think so many people don't. That's why I felt compelled to write these stations.
Yeah, and I'm so glad you did. I really am glad you did, because I want to. I'm looking forward to reading it, because I want to get your perspective of what it was like to walk, like what she looked at. So tell us how you put this book together.
I'll tell you first how the concept came to be, and then
sure.
And then if you don't mind, I would love to share the opening prayer with you, because it really describes
absolutely
what's
absolutely
done here in the station. So it was. It was one of those things where I didn't know what to do with a retreat. I was giving a retreat for college-age women, a Lent retreat. Had no idea what to do with them, and I wanted to give them something that would really grasp their hearts for our Blessed Mother. And with the Holy Spirit's inspiration and our Blessed Mother's guidance, suddenly the idea just popped up where, oh, we could do the Stations of the Cross. That would take up a lot of time. I don't have one I like. Oh, well, I'll just write one. Mm-hmm. And so that's how this all unfolded, because I'm a very Marian person, and so it was natural for me to think of our Blessed Mother and how I might weave her into these Stations of the Cross for these young women. So that's how Behold Your Mother, Marian Stations of the Cross, was born originally. It was a booklet, just a little booklet, for the sake of that retreat that my husband and I put together. He's an amateur artist, but super good, if that makes sense. He's self-taught, and he doesn't do it as a profession, but his stuff is amazing. And I said, hey, sweetheart, could you illustrate this for me? By the way, and he did. So it was, he had some very simple line drawings. And we used that for years obviously for that retreat and with family and friends and things. And the idea came to me not long ago that, hey, you know what? I wonder if OSV would be interested, our Sunday visitor, would be interested in publishing this and putting it really out there. And so I sent them one of our little booklets, and they said, oh, absolutely, let's roll. And it was a done deal. And they said, well, what we would like to do is update the cover and put in some illustrations that are more akin to our character as a publisher. And I said, that's perfectly fine. So away we went. And now we have Behold Your Mother, Marian Stations of the Cross. So that's how this whole thing, this whole odyssey unfolded. Yeah. I'm just delighted. I had really wanted that to happen, that a major publisher would take it up and put it out there so that more people could enjoy it.
Yeah, I think it's wonderful. And so tell us, Marge, what are you hoping the readers will take away from going through the Marian Stations of the Cross, Behold Your Mother? What are you hoping the takeaway will be from this, the read?
Well, can I share with you the opening prayer?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
This is exactly it. This is exactly what I hope the takeaway would be. So the prayer is, Father, I want to walk the way of the cross as a child. Take from me all pretentiousness and inhibition so that as a child I can be open to the inspirations of the Holy Spirit as I meditate and pray. Through childlike eyes, let me see the suffering of my mother as she accompanies the Savior to Golgotha. Through a childlike mind, let me experience her suffering so that I may more clearly understand your will. Through a childlike heart, let me feel her suffering so that I may be intimately drawn into her immaculate heart. Through her, let me finally be entirely converted. Amen.
Wow. That is beautiful.
So, thank you. Thank you. And that's the whole thing, is that we, the reader, prayer, the person who is using these Stations of the Cross comes to not only an awareness that Our Lady suffered terribly during Christ's passion and crucifixion, but then falls ever more deeply in love with her, and is finally, as I said in, at the end of the prayer, entirely converted. So I was thinking, when I was putting these Stations of the Cross together, you know, if now I went to Catholic grade school, not everybody has had that gift, not everybody has been raised Catholic, but I think no matter where we start on our Catholic journey, so to speak, we learned that our sins contributed to our Lord's suffering. You know, he died for you. We hear this all the time, almost to the point of being a cliche. If the Blessed Mother, which it's not even an if, as he suffered physically, his martyrdom, she suffered what we call in the Catholic realm white martyrdom, which, in other words, it's the suffering is so profound, you may not be suffering physically, but you are suffering emotionally and spiritually and mentally. The Blessed Mother suffered terribly during the Passion and Crucifixion. So if my sins contributed to Jesus' suffering that day, then they also contributed to the Blessed Mother's suffering.
Wow.
And I don't, exactly, and I don't think very many people get that, and that's what Behold Your Mother is all about, to help people get that. And, you know, it's not a downer, because as you weave your way through these stations, every station is the child looking at their mother and realizing, wow, you are suffering so much, and it's my sins that have caused this. But then every station circles around, and the child realizes, oh my goodness, but mother, all of this suffering, I am part of this, I made this happen in a sense, but yet you still love me, and you want me and cherish me as your own child. And so it's this little cycle of love in every single station.
I love that. Marge Fenelon is who we're talking to today. Behold Your Mother, Marian Stations of the Cross. Marge, we got to take a quick break. We're going to come back and continue our conversation about your little booklet, Behold Your Mother, Marian Stations of the Cross, available at Marge's website, margefenelon.com. We'll be right back after this.
Proclaiming the faith, changing lives.
The year was 1998. While praying the rosary with Paola Albertini, an Italian mystic, Mother Angelica removes the braces from her legs and begins to walk. Three physicians independently examine her and find the healing is real.
To learn more about Mother Angelica's life and the history of EWTN, visit EWTN.com/Mother Angelica.
Here's your chance to save some big money on our most unique Italy pilgrimage ever, taking you from coast to coast, the Amalfi Coast to the Adriatic, covering some of the most stunning attractions in Bella Italia. Hi, it's Teresa Tomio, and now is the time to take advantage of our $250 discount on La Dolce Fide, The Sweetness of Faith 2024. We begin on October 26, taking you to Sorrento, Pompeii, Amalfi, Ravello, San Giovanni Rotondo is next, then St. Michael's Cave in Gargano, the ancient cities of Matera and Bari, and along the way, encountering a long list of saints, including St. Maria Goretti, St. Andrew the Apostle, St. Michael the Archangel, Padre Pio, and St. Nicholas, traveling from the Amalfi coast to the Adriatic, experiencing beautiful scenery, breathtaking basilicas, and quite frankly, some of the best food on God's green earth. So join us for La Dolce Fide 2024, Italy coast to coast, and save $250 per person through March 6. Simply visit our website, AveMariaRadio.net, and our travel page, AveMariaRadio.net Travel, for more information.
When the need for senior care arises, home is where the heart is.
Visiting Angels provides home care for mom or dad up to 24 hours per day, including personal care, meals, and light housework. You may select your professional caregiver with Visiting Angels. More information at visitingangels.com or at 877-374-LIVE. That's 877-374-LIVE. Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care.
And we're back here on Catholic Connection. We're talking about Behold Your Mother, Marian Stations of the Cross, a small booklet written by Marge Fenelon. Marge, and I was just thinking this would be a great book for a mom's Bible study, a mom's prayer group, another Bible study, a church group. Tell us about how are you hoping people would pray with this book?
Well, it definitely can be done, as an individual, for sure. Mm-hmm, but But when we were putting it together, we being our Sunday visitor and myself, they already had it in mind that this book also should be adaptable or usable for groups. And so we put into each of the stations the typical verse and response. We adore you, O Christ, and we praise you because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. So every station begins with that. And then there's also a leader section, and then each station ends with a prayer that everyone says together, which is marked by the word all. So very much so, it could be prayed in a parish setting. Yeah, a mom's group would be fantastic. I think as moms, I think sometimes it's hard for us. Well, I'm speaking for myself mostly, but it's hard for us to be the child, because we're so used to being a mom. And
that's
so I think this would be a very life-giving Stations of the Cross for a mom's group or any kind of prayer group. I think, I was also thinking about groups who are making their way through addiction or any kind of woundedness where, yes, for sure, in your own eyes and perhaps other people's eyes, you messed up, but yet, she loves you. And that is just the main point that I want to drive home when folks pray the Stations of the Cross. No matter how badly she suffered, she's not giving up on you. Oh, goodness, I'm getting choked up. She's not giving up on you. She's never going to stop loving you. Mm. You are her precious child, always. That's why she did that, because you're so precious to her.
So, Marge, in the process of putting this booklet together, Behold Your Mother, Marian Stations of the Cross, and it's published by Our Sunday Visitor, what was the process for you in terms of your own faith journey? How did it enhance your relationship with Mother Mary and Jesus?
That's a great question. And in ways that I didn't see coming, as for all the stuff that I know and, the certificates and all of these things, all the learning I have regarding our Blessed Mother, all the writing I've done, I was thinking, this is great. I can do this. I can write this Marian Stations of the Cross. But what I realized was, I know so little. In terms of our Blessed Mother as a person and my relationship with her. And so I really relied on visualization for writing these stations. There was tremendous prayer that went into it. And before I wrote each of the stations, I mentally put myself into that station. And I, thank goodness, I have that gift that I can visualize things. Not visions, that's not what I'm talking about, but I can picture in my mind's eye these things. And to sit there and be that child and imagine what expression was on her face? What was she doing with her hands? For example, when the station where they nailed Jesus to the cross, I believe it's the 11th station, she's clasping her hands together until they're turning white because she's feeling the pain of those nails piercing Jesus' hands. And what this did for me was realize she was going through every single thing. She had to have been clasping her hands together, wringing her hands, or, you know, we don't have any words that she said. The scripture gives us the impression that she was very quiet throughout, but for her tears. And so I would, it gave me this ability to think, if I were in her place, I'd be beside myself.
Yeah,
and yet she kept it together. But how did she do it? So it's, you know, the wringing the hands, the folding the hands, the pleading in her heart with God, the tears and the agony on her face, and the, you know, how did she walk? She sure wasn't, you know, tripping along lightly. She, you know, to try to make it walk along to that next station, that next part of the road to Calvary. And these were heavy steps of a woman who is carrying profound agony in her heart. So how did it change my faith? Is that it made me realize how my behavior, all of my life, has impacted her. You know, it's more than just when we go in the confessional and tell our sins to the priest to receive absolution. There's another person involved here, and that person is our dear Blessed Mother. So that gave me a completely different perspective, and it absolutely deepened my relationship with her on a very personal level. I think really it was at that point. I always talk spontaneously to the Blessed Mother. My family has always been convinced that I've completely lost my
wit. I'm sorry, Marge, we got to wrap it up. We're going to about end of the show, but go ahead.
Oh, sure. No, just that it helped me to have a more spontaneous relationship with her, even more than I had before.
Thank you, Marge Fennell, for being with us. Behold Your Mother, Mary and Station of the Cross, small booklet available through our Sunday Visitor. Thanks for joining us here, and thanks for allowing me to fill in Vanessa Denha-Garmo.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruczek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening, and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.